Good evening.
Good evening.
Great to see you this evening. Appreciate your presence here so that we can worship God together. I mentioned this morning a book, and once again, I forgot to grab it from my office, but it's a book by Gaddis Roy, G-A-D-D-Y-S-R-O-Y. It is entitled Types and Shadows. It's a little thin red book. It has in it 75 skeleton outlines of types and anti-types. The way he sets it up is it's just a bare bones type deal, but it gives side by side and scriptures to support that. He does a little introduction to each one. But if types and anti-types is something that interests you, that's a good book to have in your library. If you're someone who has a library of different commentaries and things, that would be one that I would suggest. Gaddis Roy, G-A-D-D-Y-S-R-O-Y, Types and Shadows. You can get it off of Amazon. You can get it from Brotherhood Bookstores. It's around $10, give or take a little bit, depending on where you buy it from. But it's well worth that amount. If you came to me and offered me $50 for my copy, before I would sell it to you for $50, I would make sure I could order another one for $10, and then I would sell it to you for $50. This morning we began a study looking at the tabernacle as a type of the church. And we spent some time in the very beginning talking about types and anti-types and getting a good base of knowledge of what those are. The definition that we used was a type is a figure or example of something in the Old Testament that pictures or corresponds with something in the New Testament that is referred to as the anti-type. And we noticed several different passages, we noticed different categories that these all fall under. There was a quote that I found concerning types and anti-types. Now, the author said, God in the types of the previous dispensations, in other words, talking about the Old Testament, was teaching his children their letters. In this dispensation, talking about where we are today, he is teaching his children to put those letters together, and they find that these letters spell Christ. And that's many of these pictures in the Old Testament are corresponding to what Christ did and to the things that he set up. We said that there were 5 points in all that we wanted to notice concerning the tabernacle and the church. And we're going to recap the first one very quickly, and then we'll notice those final four this evening. Number one, we noticed that the most holy place is a type of heaven. The most holy place is a type of heaven. We spent a lot of time in Hebrews chapter 9, and we read verses 8 through 24, and noticed all the different correlations that the Hebrew writer makes concerning the tabernacle then and Christians, Christ, and the church today. We noticed 3 subpoints under this. We noticed that under the tabernacle, they had a high priest, and the church has Christ. We notice the passage that states Christ is our high priest. A second thing we noticed was the linen veil that the tabernacle had and how that represented Christ's flesh. Hebrews 10:19 and 20 states that just point blank, that the veil was his flesh. And of course, that veil provided access to the most holy place. And of course, that being heaven for us, Christ provides access to heaven for us today. And then the third thing that we noticed was the Israelites, they would go in once a year to the most holy place, the high priest would, and he would offer a yearly sacrifice for sin. And then we noticed the corresponding point to that, Christ offering that eternal sacrifice for sin once and for all. Now that brings us to where we pick up tonight, and that is number two, the holy place is a type of the church. The holy place is a type of the church. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 19 through 22, the Hebrew writer says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. And notice that phrase, house of God. If you jump to 1 Timothy 3:15, we see that phrase used again by Paul writing to Timothy, and he tells us that the house of God is the church of the living God. And so we see here that Christ is a high priest over the church. He said, with that knowledge, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. As we look at the holy place, and for those who, if you picked up the sheet, all of this information is on the sheet. Of course, the verses and everything that we're looking at is not, but it's got a breakdown of those things. The holy place being a type of the church, three things that we want to notice under that. Number one, the high priest had charge over the tabernacle. Numbers chapter 18, verses 1 through 7. God tells Aaron, who was the high priest at that time, that he was in charge of the tabernacle. He was the one that had charge over all of that. Our high priest, Christ, has charge over the church. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, Paul writes, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. You can find corresponding verses in Ephesians 5:23 and Colossians 1:18, also emphasizing that fact. So just as the high priest had charge over the tabernacle, our high priest Christ has charge over the church. Number two, you had to go through the holy place in order to get to the most holy place. If you look at the example there on your paper, in order for the high priest to get to the most holy place, he had to go through the holy place first. There was no side door, no other entrance. There was just that one entrance that he could take in order to get to the most holy place, which was a type of heaven, as we see on the screen. Well, we have to go through the church in order to get to heaven. The church is, if you will, the vehicle for the saved. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, as the day of Pentecost, when the church was established, Luke records praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So the saved are in the church. The saved are going to heaven. So those who are in the church are those who are going to heaven. To use another type, anti-type, the ark is a type of the church. When the floods came, where were the saved? They were the ones in the ark, right? Friends, when Christ returns or when we pass from this life, if we're going to be part of the saved, then we have to be part of his church. Number three. Priests served in the holy place. Hebrews 9, 6, and 7 talks about that very fact that the priests served in many different ways in the temple. Well, Christians are priests today and we serve in the church. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 5 and verse 9, Peter records, "You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of his darkness into his marvelous light." As we look at the holy place, we see very clearly it was a type of the church. Number three. The outer court is a type of the world. The outer court is a type of the world. Very short point here, but the outer court was a type of the world. It contained the masses of the people. Now, that's where the people would gather. That's where they would congregate. But they were not allowed to enter into the holy place, and especially not the most holy place. In order for the priest to enter the holy place, remember, we are priests today. He had to leave the outer court. In order for us to enter the church today, we have to leave the world. We must be willing to leave the world behind. The outer court was a type of the world. Number four, the consecration of the priests was a type of conversion. The consecration of the priest was a type of conversion. Before the priest could serve in the temple, they had to be consecrated. They had to go through a process that set them apart as holy to serve God. In Exodus chapter 29, we have a lot outlined to us about what that process looked like and what it all entailed. And there are striking similarities between the consecration that they went through and the conversion that we must go through today in order to become a Christian. 4 points that we want to notice concerning that. One of the first things that the priest had to do was there had to be an offering given on the brazen altar. The bronze altar, there had to be an offering that was given for them. In Exodus chapter 29, verses 15 through 22, it talks about that. We're not going to read those verses for sake of time tonight, but it talks about that offering that had to be given for them. Well, as Christians, for us to be converted, an offering had to be given for us, right? And as we've already noted, that offering is the blood of Christ. Number two, the priest had to deny all unholy things in order for him to be consecrated. Now, we have to repent of past ungodliness in order for us to be converted. Leviticus 21, 1 through 8 talks about the fact that the priest had to set aside those things in order to serve God. Luke 13, 3 says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So just as the priest had to deny unholy things in order to serve God and to be consecrated for that service, we have to repent in order to be converted. Number three, the priest had to wash in the laver or the basin, depending on how you want to translate that. And we have to be baptized. As you look at Exodus chapter 40 and verse 12, God tells Aaron, tells Moses, then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and wash them with water. The priests, when they would come in, when they would be preparing to go into the holy place in service, they had to wash in that gold laver in order to cleanse their hands. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Paul was told, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Fourth and finally, after the washing, the priest had to be clothed in linen garments. Exodus 40 and verse 13, you shall put the holy garments on Aaron. These were linen garments. This was after he was consecrated, after he was washed, and anoint him and consecrate him that he may minister to me as priest. Well, we have to clothe ourselves in righteous living. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Just as the priest had to be consecrated in order to enter into the holy place, which is a type of the church, we have to be converted in order to do the same. All right, fifth and finally, the priest served God in the holy place. Christians serve God in the church. Now, I know that we looked at this as one of the subpoints under when we looked at the holy place in the church, but I want us to notice some more similarities here under this last point. The priest served God in the holy place. Christians serve God in the church. Four subpoints that we want to notice. Number one, one of the things in the holy place was the candlestick. That was part of the instruments of the tabernacle. The candlestick represents for us today the Word of God. The candlestick was lit daily. Exodus chapter 30, verses 7 and 8. Exodus 40, verse 4. Today, God's Word is to be our daily light. Psalm 119, 105. Many of you know the passage. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And friends, just as that candlestick was lit daily by the priest, as Christians, we need to be daily in the Word of God. And so the candlestick represents the Word of God. Number two, the altar of incense represents the prayers of the saints. In Exodus chapter 30, verses 7 and 8, God gives Moses instruction concerning this altar. But we see in other places that incense was representative of prayers. Psalm 141 in verse 2, the psalmist says, "Let my prayers be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." Revelation 5:8 talks about golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And so just as the priest would light the incense and allow that to drift up to heaven, as Christians, we need to be praying and lifting up our voices to heaven. Number three, the table of showbread. The showbread was eaten weekly on the Sabbath day. The Lord's Supper is observed weekly on the Lord's Day, which is Sunday. Just as they would do this, Leviticus 24, 5 through 9 lays out some of the procedure concerning this. And of course, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 talks about how they gathered on the first day of the week to break bread, which is symbolic of the Lord's Supper. Fourth and finally, the priests were to offer daily sacrifices. And as Christians, we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul writes, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." The tabernacle and the church, something that should be faith-building to us, to see how God pictured all of these things all the way back then, because He had His plan in place to bring us to where we are now. Just as one had to go through the holy place in order to get to the most holy place, friends, you must be a member of the Lord's church if you're going to get to heaven. Just as the priests had to be consecrated before they could enter, we must be converted in order for the Lord to add us to His church. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to think seriously about where you currently stand with God. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you're willing to turn from sin, to confess that belief, and to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, the Lord will add you to His church. If you've done those things but you've turned away from God, come back. The Lord's church, that beautiful blood-bought institution that will one day reside in heaven. Make sure you're a faithful part of it. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.